How could a creature be the queen of angels? Let me ask you a greater question. How could a creature be the mother of her own creator? That's the awe of the Blessed Mother. And my friends, we're never, ever going to satisfy talking about the mystery and awe of she who is the mother of Jesus, the Blessed Virgin. Hello and welcome to MaryCast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, professor of theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And it's my honor in this MaryCast series to talk about Our Lady as the Queen of the Angels. Now, let's talk theology, let's talk patristic tradition, and then in our little mini-series on Our Lady, Queen of the Angels, I want to go through the choirs of the angels, because St. Bonaventure makes the strong boast that a person should not consider themselves educated if they cannot recount the nine choirs of the angels. So, we want to be educated, we also want to do proper veneration to Our Lady and also to the angels. So let's start with foundations. Now, why is Mary called the Queen of Angels? Well, first of all, remember, queenship is always in relation to the king. There's two possibilities of a queen. One is a female king, for lack of a better term, where she's the sole authority and the sole source of her authority. And Mary is not a queen in that sense. The other type of queen is in relation to the king, either the mother of the king or it can be the wife of the king. But in the Old Testament, it was always the queen mother tradition, the Gabira, who was the mother of the king and the principal intercessor for the members of the kingdom. Now, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, she, of course, is mother of Christ the King. Therefore, she's mother and queen of all within the kingdom. So Mary is queen of the angels because the angels are in the kingdom of God. In fact, they're a glorious dimension, a great civilization within the kingdom of God. So we say that she's queen of the angels because she indeed has a jurisdiction in light of being the mother of Jesus, the king, in her queenship over the angels. But the Franciscan school, and I would agree with them on this, say that you could also say that Mary's mother of the angels. Why mother? Because Mary's role as co-redemptrix has her participate in the acquisition of the graces of Calvary. And so in the same way that the Second Vatican Council says that Mary is a mother to us in the order of grace, she's a spiritual mother, she intercedes for graces for us, her role as mediatrix of all graces, so too the Franciscan school in general would say that the grace, the angels receive the grace to say yes during their moral testing by the cross of Jesus, and therefore by the intercession of Our Lady as well. So the grace to endure their moral testing, which allowed them to have fully the beatific vision and the eternity of heaven, that grace is given to them through Our Lady's intercession. So in that sense, she's spiritual mother of the angels. She nourishes them also in the order of grace. Well, let's get back to the moral testing for a moment. And again, I want to summarize the Franciscan school and also the great teaching of St. Maximilian Kolbe on this point, that before the creation of man, but already experiencing the creation of the angels, God the Father tested the angels. And all the great angelic scholars, St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, and St. Bonaventure, the seraphic doctor, and many of the other medievals agree that the principal means of the test which God gave to the angels was the revelation of the incarnation. In other words, God reveals to the angels that the Word, the second person of the Trinity, at one point of history would become man. And they would have to worship this God-man. And already this brought frustration to the pride of Lucifer. Jeremiah reference, non servabo, I will not serve, in a reference to saying, look, I can serve God, but why, as a high angel, would I be called to serve an inferior creature, a God with a human component, with a human nature? So already Lucifer's pride is being ruffled, and then the Father goes on to reveal that this incarnation, the God becoming man, would happen through a woman. And that this human creature, this woman, would become their the angels' queen. And as St. Maximilian describes, this was the last straw for the adversary. First, who is Lucifer, of course, he's the great light bearer, but through will, through free will, he becomes the adversary and says, I will not serve. And then you have the great battle depicted in Revelation 12, where it's the woman against the dragon, and the dragon takes a third of the stars with him. That would constitute the other angels who refuse to serve the plan of the incarnation and refuse to venerate the Queen of Angels. And therefore, a third of God's created beings called the angels, the angelic civilization, is lost through disobedience. And once again, keep in mind, my friends, we only need free will to sin. That's all we need. Now, sometimes we're quick to say, the devil made me do this, and sometimes he may have encouraged us to do it. But ultimately, free will. It's not external temptation, it's our internal act of will which causes sin. Because Lucifer had no external tempter. He becomes Satan, he becomes the infamous tempter, but no one tempted Lucifer. It was free will and an act of pride which led to disobedience and led to the fall. But so this battle between the woman and the serpent doesn't start in Genesis. This is already predicted and anticipated and really begun with the revelation to the angels of the plan of the incarnation and that they would have as their queen a human being. And this goes back, and this is why I think the Franciscans are so right on this in their tradition. This goes to the support of the definition of the Immaculate Conception with Blessed Pius IX, where he said it was the one and the same eternal decree which brought us Jesus, that brought us the Word made flesh, and Mary. In other words, the incarnation was always part of God's predestined plan, and therefore Mary has always been part of God's predestined plan as well. So she is queen of the angels, as she is queen of the saints. She's queen of the holy souls in purgatory. She's queen of the mystical body. She's queen for as far as the kingdom of God presides, which is universal. That's the power of her queenship. And that's why when we call and we use the title Mary, Queen of Angels, two things should happen in our hearts. We should be stirred in two ways. One is the awe of this immaculate virgin who says yes to the Archangel Gabriel to be the mother of Jesus. She's one of us. She's the human race's solitary boast, as the non-Catholic poet tells us. She is a new creation because she keeps saying yes. She's created immaculate, but she becomes the queen of the angels. Secondly, when we hear this title of Mary, Queen of the Angels, we should be reminded of the reality of this angelic civilization. The angels are created beings. They are persons, created persons without matter. They have a higher intellect than we do. They have a greater will than we do. Their ability to move for the kingdom and to operate even the planetary bodies is what indeed God gives them in terms of the delegation that heaven thought appropriate for the angels. So we're going to talk about the seraphim and the cherubim. We're going to talk about the thrones, and we're going to talk about that first hierarchy as Dionysius and Thomas and Bonaventure, the greats, really talk about the levels of the angels. Then we're going to talk about the middle hierarchy when we talk about the dominions, the powers and the virtues, what they do, and how they have opposing demons in a type of satanic hierarchy, as St. Paul talks about, the evil dominions and powers and virtues. And then we're going to talk about that third hierarchy, the one that's concerned about you and me, in a special way. We're going to talk about the whole dimension of the principalities, the archangels and the angels, Our Lady's Queen of the Angels, and why we must be more docile to the reality of the angels in our life. Especially now today, my friends, because it's spiritual warfare. And that's where the angels come in powerfully. This is Mark Miravalli saying thanks for being with us at MaryCast. God bless you.